Have you ever looked in awe at something that was restored to its original condition? A splendor wandering on earth, how could it look that way? How could it feel that way? Sometimes the restoration is better than the original because of the time intensity involved in making it so. So please keep that in mind as we get closer to the end of this message. If it has been restored, it must have been in some form or stage of disrepair from the original state. We have empty houses, once palatial homes, sitting empty for someone to come along and bring it back to life, so to speak. This is a restoration on a major scale at minimum. Old cars, parked sometimes, stacked up, waiting to be salvaged. Many of these lots are hence called salvage yards, and which most of the men here in this room, I imagine probably a few women too, have browsed at one time or another, looking for spare parts, the taillight lens, a door handle, maybe more major, an engine or transmission. Maybe just someone salvaged my old Ford from the wrecking lot that I sold it to. When it was wrecked, the one I mentioned a few weeks back, that would have certainly been a sweet ending to my story. I hope somebody did. Possibly, you bought an antique piece of furniture. You just couldn't resist it because it was, how do you say, just elegant, but in very bad state of disrepair. A table or a chair that needed to be dismantled, stripped of its paint, its upholstery, varnished, and then sanded and restained and reassembled or reupholstered to like or better than new. Have any of you ever done that? I think many people have done this. This process I'm speaking about is being salvaged, rescued from doom or death or total destruction. These were all damaged goods through neglect or misuse or the lack of use. Sometimes something just sits and just deteriorates. Excuse me. The house was left sitting when the owner died, moved, was forced to leave, say, due to bankruptcy or foreclosure. In some cases, for many, many years, before someone came along, driving along, and looked over and says, "Wow, what an awesome jewel in the rough," purchases it and restores it to its original glory. I don't know if any of you watch HGTV, but I do, and I find it's very interesting what people do to old places. The car stopped running because of neglect, or wear, or just because it's old. And someone, rather than to sell it and go through all that process, just let it sit in the side yard, the backyard, or in a little barn. You've heard of barn finds. Before someone came driving along and noticed it sitting there and knocked on the door, says, asked the owner, "Is that car for sale? Would you mind selling it?" Again, seeing a diamond in the rough. I know a couple people in this room that have a diamond in the rough sitting in their garage or their workshop. See some smiles out there. Sitting here in this room today. Some people go antiquing or garage sailing or yard sailing, hoping to find that one of a kind piece of furniture or painting that can be brought back to life to its heyday appearance with little help from friends like you or me. And then there are those, for lack of any other word or name, called treasure hunters. to search out long-lost ships at sea, salvaging what they can of the artifacts, the long-lost disasters and mishaps on the high seas, such as the Titanic that hit an iceberg and sank on April the 15th, 1912. The artifacts can be salvaged from such places as the Titanic and other disasters, but people cannot be salvaged in the same way. This is what I want to talk to you about today. It'll be an analogy. Just like the old house or the old car in the salvage yard, the antique chair or the painting found in the antique or used furniture store, we were and still are, to a certain degree, damaged goods, neglected and thrown away, so to speak, through sin. You might ask yourself how this came about. Well, it happened way back when Satan deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, verse 1, which I'll get there a little bit later, when they, in a sense, threw humanity away by following the serpent and saying to their offspring, "You now have the knowledge of the good and evil, so you're on your own. You figure it out." And guess what? Man has been trying to figure it out ever since then, and we're not doing a very good job of it. Just like the old car might be sold for junk or to a salvage yard, we were sold under sin through Satan's influence. We're waiting to be salvaged. This salvage is called salvation. Salvage, from the Webster's definition, is to save as a ship or its cargo from wreck or capture, etc. To save material or something damaged, such as copper or aluminum. Saving a ship's cargo from a loss, the act of saving property. The compensation allowed to persons by whose exertions a vessel, its cargo, or the lives of those sailing on it are saved from loss. That which is saved from a wreck or abandoned vessel, or from or after a fire. Anything saved from destruction. This is what we're looking for, is being saved from destruction. This brings us to salvation. It's another part of that word. Again, from Webster's, the process or state of being saved. A person or thing that delivers from evil, danger, or ruin. Theological definition, deliverance from sin, and penalty and redemption. So why don't we just go to the beginning of the matter, how it was possible for us to be thrown to the salvage or trash heap in the first place and need to be salvaged or restored and saved from that ultimate destruction, though this is particularly true of old houses and old cars and antique furniture. Yes, and to us, be saved or brought back to even a better state than we have ever been, spiritually speaking, of course. Genesis 1:1, if you want to turn there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was, or became, without form and void. And the darkness is on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, and he said it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now if you'd go with me to verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to its kind." And it was so. In verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We'll now enter the promoter and the developer of the first original trash heap or first salvage yard of humanity, Satan. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Now Eve explains to Satan, or the serpent, in the middle of verse 3, "God has indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden, lest you die.'" In verse 4, the serpent says to the woman, "You will not surely die." Here, the serpent, Satan, is already putting in the dings and the scratches in the human structure by lying and beginning to inject doubt in the mind, the destruction of Eve, and ultimately the first man, Adam, thus condemning them to the salvage yard because they rejected what God had taught them. Then the Lord God says in verse 22, Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put his hand out and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden into the salvage yard, so to speak, to till the ground from which he was taken. So he, God, drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned everywhere to guard the way of the tree of life. So the first salvage yard was created. God allowed this for a reason, that he will salvage us and make us even better than we were or are in this human existence. So if you would, let's fast forward to the present and the future. Remember that God is constantly searching out the salvage yard of humanity to rescue and restore humanity to a better end product in his kingdom. He asked Ezekiel in the beginning of Ezekiel 37, beginning in verse 3. I know Ezekiel's in here, I was here earlier. It says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel says, "So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.'" In verse 4, again he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and cause you to live. I will put sinews on you and bring your flesh on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.'" You can read the rest of it beginning in verse 7. It's like taking the old piece of furniture in an old car. You put on the inner workings, you put in the upholstery and the springs, and then you put in the engine, and you put the gasoline in it, and you start it up, and you put breath in it, and it runs. Well, God's going to do that with us. We won't be mechanical, of course, but be even better. Remember that God takes all the time he needs, because after all, he created time. He created time for us. We now can go to the New Testament and continue the story. Just over 3 weeks ago, we observed or celebrated, if you will, the eighth day or the last day of the last great day of the feast that represents humanity's salvage, being salvaged. God has made a way to be way for us to be salvaged. He is calling or searching the salvage yards of humanity, looking for those who respond to that calling to be rescued and salvaged. How, you may ask? Acts 2:38 tells us, "Then Peter said to them, and us also, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins,'" the original Christ of humanity, "'and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit,'" the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is the power by which the scratches and the dings can be repaired in our character, and we can be transformed back to what we could have been had we not been sold to that salvage yard through the original sin of mankind. It will be an even more awesome salvage or salvation through the Savior Jesus Christ, as we are told in 1 Corinthians 15:21. "For since by man came death, by man, that's Christ, all by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive or salvaged. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Let's drop down to verse 45, if you will. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Remember what I had mentioned earlier, that sometimes the restoration is better than the original because of the time intensity involved to make it so. Please come with me to verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. At this time, we will have indeed been salvaged to a better and a greater form than ever before.